Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me be a nerd for a minute. There are different modes of language that are used to communicate different things. At one extreme, you have the checklist. The creed is something of a checklist. We believe in X, Y, and Z. The checklist might invite some pondering so you understand the words, but it's more of a summary of necessary things, either to do or to believe and live by. Deviating from a checklist is usually met by invective, like "you idiot," rather than some kind of explanation. Because none of us is probably that guy who has figured out where the checklist is wrong. At the other end of the checklist, though, is the word picture or the metaphor. "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" Shakespeare's Sonnet 18 wants us to explore how the beloved and a summer day are a shared experience, and how they might be different. Why Shakespeare is the genius and most of us aren't is that in that poem, he doesn't build on the equality with a glorious summer day, but he goes into how his beloved is better than that. "Summer's lease hath all too short a date, but thy eternal summer shall not fade. So long lives this and gives life to thee." It's going on 400 years. I imagine it has a few more years. Our gospel reading today is the first half of what is usually called the Good Shepherd Discourse. And discourse is such a wrong word. It's more appropriate for that checklist than for Jesus' word picture. "Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." It continues, but the basis of the picture is all in those words. And Jesus has placed us in the picture in the middle of some action. The main picture is that sheepfold. It's often remarked that Paul is the city boy and Jesus is the country boy. Jesus uses pastoral images that we who don't always know where our food comes from beyond the grocery store might not get. But a sheepfold is probably one we get, even if what we might have in our mind is more like a cattle corral. It's a fenced-in area of safety that collects a bunch of sheep. And for Jesus' audience, it came with a built-in understanding. The sheepfold is Israel, the people of God. So in using this image, Jesus wants us to contemplate the people of God. And what he wants us to think about specifically is who, how, and for what purposes people might enter into or exit from that sheepfold. And what Jesus' picture invites us to categorize is what are doors and gates into and out of the pen. And what are ways that people might jump the sides of the pens? course, in the original episode, which ends with the Jews picking up rocks to stone him, part of what Jesus is calling out is that the chief priests and the leaders of the people have not entered by the door. And this, in the church, remains a problem in all ages. Recognizing those who, even though they have titles and positions, nevertheless jumped the fence from those who entered by the door. So Jesus embellishes his picture a bit. In adding to the picture, he gives us a couple of ways to distinguish those who have come in for the good of the flock and those who have come in to steal, kill, and destroy. The first way Jesus adds is the voice. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name. Now, this is where I might get my most mystical. But there are a few things we have to consider with this image. Within the sheepfold, there might be sheep that are not his own. That isn't enlarged in the picture. That's the Synoptic Gospel's image of the wheat and weeds together sown. But his own do recognize the voice. There might be those who are not his own recognizing the voice. That's always a question in regards to the word, recognizing the voice between those two. That's always a question in regard to the Word of God in Scripture. How do you know it's the Word of God? And there are lots of arguments that I could make. Good, rational arguments. Sometimes even pragmatic ones. We call most of those apologetics, and you all might have heard a lot of them. Making an argument for the faith. It can be done. But ultimately, the argument is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit blows where and when it wills. The sheep hear the voice, and they know it. They hear the voice of the stranger, and they do not know it. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I put a lot of time into thinking how I'm going to preach and what I'm going to say, how I hope to reflect fully upon the Scripture text. But ultimately, my words in and of themselves have no power. If I think it's the power of my words, I've jumped into the sheepfold over the side and not the door. I trust that my time isn't wasted. I trust that the Spirit shall use them as His means. But any power that our words have is because the Spirit uses them. And the sheep hear the voice. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus starts with this image, but John states that they did not understand what he was saying. Which, if we know the story, makes a bit of sense in terms of apologetics of what I just said, because this is before Pentecost. That Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out. So understanding this word picture would be left until that day that the Spirit was poured out. So, in the day itself, Jesus adds a second embellishment that makes things clearer. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And this is what sets Jesus on the road to the Jews picking up those stones and eventually crucifying him. This is what makes clear that he's calling out the chief priests and those who are exploiting the people of God. But it still has some resonance for us today. If someone comes in the name of God, they better be proclaiming Christ crucified and risen. Whatever other wisdom or insight or words or images or status or anything else they come with, if they do not come like Paul, committed to preaching Christ crucified, they have jumped the fence into the sheep pen. Because it's only through Christ that we can go in and go out and find our pasture. It's only the good shepherd that leads us beside still water. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Because Christ alone has secured our life. It's Christ alone who fills up our cups to overflowing, that we all might have life abundantly. A spring welling up to eternal life. It's only Christ that the sheep find pasture for their souls. So, the church, the people of God, in Jesus' picture, have a couple of ways to discern the shepherd from the sheep, from the thief. The first is, who and what are they preaching? If it's not Christ crucified, they're thieves. The second is that mystical idea of the voice of the good shepherd. The sheep know it. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to renew your hearts and minds in Christ. And as much as I might delve into a bit of mysticism there, the image still calls for some reality from us. First, we actually have to know our names. The voice of Jesus calls us by our name. I don't know if anybody has seen Miyazaki's movie Spirited Away, but there's a deep part right at the start. It's not really a Christian parable, but man, it gets close. A little girl is trying to get her parents back, who have been stolen by the spirits, stolen by the demons. But the first thing they do is steal your name. She doesn't remember her own name, and she has to get her own name back first. We have been given our name in baptism. The cross of Christ has been traced on your forehead and upon your heart. But if we drift away, if we let someone or something steal our name, if we, like Esau, despise our birthright, when the shepherd calls, we might not recognize our name. The second bit of reality is that the sheepfold is safety for the night, but it's neither our eternal home nor the place where we stay. We go in and out to find pasture. We live in the midst of flocks that do not hear the voice, flocks that are following other voices, other shepherds. And there are members of the sheepfold of God who are currently in those other flocks. How we live the Christian life in front of the world is our testimony to the pasture that is provided by Jesus Christ. Our lives going in and out of the fold are testimony to the door and the voice of the Good Shepherd. The sheepfold is thus an image of the Christian life in this world. You talk in images to try and communicate large items in a directly intuitive way. We've explored that image for 12 minutes maybe, fleshing it out a little bit. And I'm sure there are corners and maybe even big spots of the picture that I've just missed or that we haven't touched. But that's the part of giving a picture, is it works on our intuition in strong, immediate ways. And Jesus entrusts the Christian life to this picture. But even here, there is something that he entrusts to that checklist. If you enter by the door, if you enter by Jesus, you will be saved. The list of outcomes with the thieves: steal, kill, and destroy. Our lives here and now are heading to clear destinations. Pay attention to which voice you listen to. Amen.